Well, good evening. The last two Sunday evening lessons have been on the subject of filtering trash out of various forms of media. And so I thought I'd like to preach a lesson that is related to that. And then I remembered a lesson I heard years ago by a preacher by the name of Wes Webb, who did a lesson on Facebook and the Christian. And so I went back and looked at that lesson and took a lot of things from that lesson, but took, you know, a lot of things out of it and rearranged things and made it my own. So I want to talk to you tonight about Facebook and the Christian. I don't know if you knew this, but there are 1 billion people on Facebook now. 1 billion. So that's nearly 1 in 7 people on the planet that are on Facebook. If you're not on Facebook, that's fine. In case you don't know, though, Facebook is something you can use online that enables people from all over the world to connect to one another and to share their lives. People post pictures for all their friends to see, as well as videos, questions, game scores, happy birthday wishes, and up-to-the-minute reports of every insignificant detail of their life and maybe their cat's life. They post everything on Facebook. Facebook is a tool that can be used for good, but it can also be used for evil. And so what we want to talk about tonight is some things that I like about Facebook, some good things about it, and then some things to beware of, and then some practical applications. All right, so first, some things that I like. First of all, I like that Facebook enables you to conveniently stay in touch with friends and family. I think that's a wonderful thing. I've connected with people recently that I haven't talked to in years. One person that has been, I think, something like 25 years. I was a kid. He was one of my martial arts instructors. And now all of a sudden we're friends on Facebook. And so that can be a blessing that you can connect with people. I also like that Facebook enables you to stay connected to brethren. Christians need community. And 3 times a week gathering together like this, while that's a lot, it's not enough. We really do need more. The church in Acts chapter 2 needed more. And in Acts chapter 2 and verse 46, it says, day by day, continuing with one mind in the temple and breaking bread from house to house, they were taking their meals together with gladness and sincerity of heart. They just wanted to worship together every day. They wanted to be around each other and hang around each other and eat together just every day. And so we need that interaction, and I hate to admit it, but Facebook is a good way to connect on a daily basis. When we can't be together like this, we can connect with one another through Facebook. Most of the Christians you know are on Facebook, and you can connect with them. And I think that's a great usage of Facebook. Another thing I like about Facebook is it's an excellent way to find spiritual encouragement. And you can do this through connecting with your brethren, as I just mentioned. You can connect with the most spiritually minded brethren that you know, so that you'll see their edifying posts often. It could be that you go to a great gospel, you know, meeting and think, wow, I'd really love to stay connected. Well, you know, you can. You can stay connected with that gospel preacher and become friends with him through Facebook. You can also make prayer requests, and you can get immediate encouragement, immediate support when you send that out. And I think that's a wonderful use of Facebook. In Romans 1, Paul said, "For I long to see you," to these Christians in Rome, "so that I may impart some spiritual gift to you, that you may be established. That is, that I may be encouraged together with you while among you, each of us by the other's faith, both yours and mine." And you can accomplish that to some degree, even through Facebook. One other thing that I like about Facebook is it's a great tool to use to positively influence others. This is my favorite way to use Facebook to give helpful advice about secular things, just daily things, but especially and more importantly, to post about spiritual matters. There is almost unlimited potential on Facebook to shine our light and to manifest God's sweet aroma. In 2 Corinthians chapter 2, 2 Corinthians chapter 2, beginning in verse 14, I think this is such a beautiful passage. Paul said, "But thanks be to God who always leads us in triumph in Christ and manifests through us the sweet aroma of the knowledge of Him in every place. For we are a fragrance of Christ to God among those who are being saved and among those who are perishing. To the one an aroma from death to death, to the other an aroma from life to life. And who is adequate for these things?" I don't know if any of you have a diffuser, but diffusers are these amazing little machines, and you put a fragrance in there and it just spreads this wonderful fragrance all through the room, maybe even all through your house. And some people like to have one in every room of their house. We are basically to be human diffusers of the aroma of Christ. Everywhere we go, whether it's in the workplace or whether it's at school or whether it's on Facebook, to spread the aroma of God and of Christ. Those are some things I like about Facebook. Well, there are good things, but there are also bad things. So let's now talk about some things that I do not like about Facebook. First of all, I do not like that Facebook provides many temptations and many bad influences, which we should avoid. Randomly scrolling through Facebook may be one of the best ways to stumble upon filth. Trashy photos, bad language, filthy entertainment, godless worldviews, religious misconceptions, and on and on. Jesus taught to pray in the model prayer, "And lead us not into temptation." And so if you're praying, "God, do not lead me into temptation," and then you knowing that you're going to go right into temptation if you just mindlessly scroll through Facebook, well, then wouldn't you be actually going against the very thing that you're praying in that situation? Facebook makes it way too easy to connect with the wrong people. And this can lead to terrible consequences, terrible relationships that are maybe started on an innocent kind of a level, and then they progress to something terrible. I know a young man that through people he met online, he decided he didn't believe in God anymore. And he became an atheist. All because of somebody he met online. That was before Facebook. Or another example is affairs and divorces. According to a 2015 Washington Times article, researchers have found that Facebook is now cited in about a third of all divorce cases. And you just have to think, how can Facebook be cited in one-third of all divorce cases? Well, part of it is you're just on Facebook and you connect with an old high school sweetheart. And then you start to form a relationship online through Facebook. Before you know it, an affair occurs. Or you meet somebody new that you've never met before, but you're just drawn to this person and there's this attraction, and there's maybe at first it's innocent, and then before you know it, there's a relationship built, and then there's an affair that occurs. Or it could be, in some of these situations, that that Facebook causes a divorce in a different way. It could be that it becomes an obsession in someone's life to the point that their spouse is now being neglected in all sorts of ways, and their spouse is sick of it. And so the relationship is, the marriage is ended in that way. Either way, we are warned in Scripture not to be bound together with unbelievers. In 2 Corinthians chapter 6, begin reading with me in verse 14. It says, "Do not be bound together with unbelievers. For what partnership have righteousness and lawlessness? Or what fellowship has light with darkness? Or what harmony has Christ with Belial? Or what has a believer in common with an unbeliever? Or what agreement has the temple of God with idols? For we are the temple of the living God, just as God said, 'I will dwell in them and walk among them, and I will be their God, and they shall be my people.' Therefore come out from their midst and be separate, says the Lord, and do not touch what is unclean, and I will welcome you, and I will be a father to you, and you shall be sons and daughters to me, says the Lord Almighty." And so that's That's what we are all to do. Actually, what we're to not do. Not to be unequally yoked to unbelievers. Well, it doesn't mean you can't have any friends who are unbelievers, but the idea is don't be so yoked in your relationships and your friendships that they are the ones influencing you. And that this evil companion that you've joined with is corrupting your good morals. Another thing that I don't like about Facebook, well, I'm one ahead here, is Christians posting inappropriate things on Facebook. I'm not real experienced with Facebook. I'm still pretty new to it. I don't scroll through and read a lot of stuff. I just kind of mostly post stuff. But I have heard that among Christians this can be a problem. And that sermon that Wes Webb preached that I listened to all those years ago, he talked about that there were Christians that were posting immodest photos. He talked about the things that Christians say on Facebook, complaining and gossiping. You know, Facebook can really be, it can be a breeding grounds for negativity. And so we just have to be careful even about that. Profanity and abusing of the Lord's name that Christians are using in their videos or in their posts that they type. Or sharing shameful posts about certain celebrities or movies or books or video games. We are to be blameless. I keep getting ahead. Okay, so I'm not going to go back. Don't worry about that. So Christians are to be blameless. In Philippians 2, all right, if you will go to Philippians chapter 2, please turn your Bibles there. Philippians chapter 2. A powerful verse in Philippians 2 and in verse 15. Philippians chapter 2 and in verse 15. Y'all pardon me. I am trying to read my old Bible and it's missing things. So, like, pages are all messed up. All right, here I am. So that you will prove yourselves to be blameless and innocent, children of God above reproach in the midst of a crooked and perverse generation, among whom you appear as lights in the world. And so that's the command, for us to be blameless, for us to be holy, for us to appear as lights in the world, which is what Jesus commanded for us to be and to do, to shine our light. And notice that the preceding verse in verse 15 says, do all things without grumbling or disputing. So in this context, Paul is especially applying, make sure that you are not grumbling and you are not disputing so that you can be blameless, so that you can be lights. Because when you grumble and complain, guess what? You're not being blameless and you're not being a light. Okay? So, sin is sin. Even on your Facebook page or your Facebook profile, sin is sin. There are some that go so far as to say or think that just because they are behind closed doors in the privacy of their home and that this is their Facebook page or their Facebook profile and their friends, that whatever they do online is private. I want everybody, especially the young people, to listen. Whatever you put out there online is out there forever. I don't care if you delete it 5 minutes later, somebody could have it on their computer, and that can come back up in interviews, it can come back up in relationships, it can come back up in marriage. And so be very careful what you choose to have put out on the web. What part of World Wide Web do we not understand? Just because we're online, in privacy as we see it, that does not exempt us from conducting ourselves as Christians, just on the premise that we can hide behind a username. Sin, no matter in what context, no matter in what venue or by what means it is noticed or discovered, is still sin. Plain and simple. It must be corrected. It must be avoided. Pictures, videos, or words that are said online are all really solid pieces of evidence of public sin. Another thing to be aware about is we don't need to like inappropriate posts. Liking people's inappropriate posts is just as bad as posting those things yourself. Christians are to approve things that are excellent. In Philippians 1 and verses 9 through 11, if you will look there, Philippians chapter 1. And beginning verse 9, Paul says, "In this I pray that your love may abound still more and more in real knowledge and all discernment, so that you may approve the things that are excellent, in order to be sincere and blameless until the day of Christ, having been filled with the fruit of righteousness which comes through Jesus Christ to the glory and praise of God." So ask yourself, is that the kind of stuff that I approve, that I like on Facebook? Things that are excellent spiritually. One mark of the degenerate Gentile society of the first century was the approval of sin. In Romans 1, after that litany of sins that Paul lists of this wicked society, he says, "And although they know the ordinance of God that those who practice such things are worthy of death, they not only do the same, but also give hearty approval to those who practice them." Paul actually puts the approval of the sin as worse than the committing of the sin in that passage. He's saying not only do they do it, but they also give hearty approval. And so when we go online and give hearty approval by liking people's things, then if it's filthy, then what we're doing is we're actually participating in that sin to a degree. Another thing that I don't like about Facebook, it's already up here, is that Facebook tends to promote pride and arrogance, a self-centered attitude. And it's all about my life and all the wonderful things that are going on. We have to be careful about that. Facebook encourages a fixation with popularity, number of friends that I have, or the number of views that I get on my posts or my videos, or the number of likes that I am receiving. And we have to be careful about our attitude about those things. Pride and arrogance are sinful. If we're not careful, we become like David in 2 Samuel 24. I don't know if you remember that story, but David decides that he wants to have the children of Israel numbered. For no reason. And so he tells Joab, the commander of his army, to go and do this. And Joab's not like a righteous man, but he knows this is not right. And he tries to encourage David not to do this. He says, "May the Lord increase the people 100 times more than they are, but may the king not do this." And David insists. And so Joab goes with some others who go to count all of the people. And it takes them almost 10 months. And they come back and they say, "There are 800,000 men who use the sword, who draw the sword. In the northern kingdom of, or in Israel and in Judah, there are 500,000 men. So there, you have your number now." And then his heart felt guilty about what he had done. And he prayed for forgiveness. And what God did as a response to that, long story short, is he had 70,000 of the people to die from Dan to Beersheba in a pestilence. And so we need to be careful that we don't end up having this attitude like David that, "I just want to know how many. I just want to know how much. I want to know how popular I am, how powerful I am in my little Facebook empire." Another thing that I dislike about Facebook, one more thing here, is that it drains our time. There was an article in the New York Times from May 2016 entitled, "Facebook has 50 minutes of your time each day. It wants more." And I want to read a little snippet from that article. 50 minutes. That's the average amount of time the company said that users spend each day on its Facebook, Instagram, and Messenger platforms. And that's not counting the popular messaging app, WhatsApp. I've never heard of that. Maybe that doesn't sound like so much, but there are only 24 hours in a day. And the average person sleeps for 8.8 of them. I don't know about you, but that's not me. I'm not getting that much sleep. That means more than 1/16 of the average user's waking time is spent on Facebook. The average time that users spend on Facebook is nearing an hour. That's more than any other leisure activity surveyed by the Bureau of Labor Statistics, with the exception of watching television programs and movies, an average per day of 2.8 hours. It's more time than people spend reading, 19 minutes. Participating in sports or exercise, 17 minutes. Or social events, 4 minutes. it's almost as much time as people spend eating and drinking, 1.07 hours. The thing that surprised me about that article is this is the New York Times preaching at us, don't spend so much time on Facebook, people. If New York Times thinks that an hour a day is too much, maybe we as Christians need to think about how we're using our time and our opportunities for the Lord. How much of your time, how much of my time is spent viewing Facebook? We have to be careful not to allow ourselves to be mastered by anything. Paul said in 1 Corinthians 6:12, all things are lawful for me, but not all things are profitable. All things are lawful for me, but I will not be mastered by anything. Facebook may be lawful for a Christian to use, but have you allowed yourself to be mastered by it? You know, Facebook is a good servant, but it's a terrible master. Would you find it difficult to fast from Facebook for a whole week? I would. I mean, think about it. Oh, all those things I could be saying, or all those things I'm missing that people are, we might have a hard time just accepting no Facebook for a whole week. If that is a struggle even for you to think about, and I'm not saying you have to do that, but just think through that. If that's a struggle for you, it might show that Facebook has too much of a hold on you and on your time. What would your relationship with God be like if you prayed as much as you went on Facebook? Or if you studied God's Word as much as you went on Facebook? Maybe we come to class unprepared for our Bible class, but maybe we spend a whole lot of time on Facebook. How many brethren might be served or encouraged if your attention was given to them instead of Facebook? So we just all need to ask ourselves. I need to ask myself. Who is the master of our time, Facebook or Jesus? And so, having looked now at some things that I like and at some things that I dislike about Facebook, I'd like for us now to look at four suggestions. I could give 44, 144, 444. Okay, there's a lot of suggestions, but just four big ones I want you to actually take with you. Number one, only post what you'd want Jesus to see. If Jesus was on Facebook, how comfortable would you be about Him being your friend? Would you have to pull down photos from your profile because of immodesty? Would you have to change the language you use in some of your posts? Would you be more careful about what you post? Avoiding gossip and negativity, avoiding worldliness and complaining, avoiding self-centeredness? Would you need to change the information that you've written about yourself regarding your favorite movies and books, TV shows, and activities? I think that's a good suggestion. Only post what you'd want Jesus to see. Secondly, include spiritual posts. There's nothing inherently wrong with posting about secular things. However, there may be something wrong with your priorities if you only post about secular things. Think about it. In Colossians 3:2, it says, set your mind on things above, not on things on the earth, where Christ is, seated at the right hand of the throne of God. And so if we are to set our mind on things above, would that not mean that we should talk about things above? We should talk about spiritual matters? Would that not mean that we should post about spiritual matters? Would that not be a natural outgrowth of setting your mind on things above? In fact, maybe this is a good barometer of how spiritually minded you are in your spiritual life, is how often do you post about spiritual things, if ever? And so it shows our priorities, the things that we post online. Thirdly, I would suggest to choose your Facebook friends carefully. Just as we need to choose our real life friends carefully so as not to be unequally yoked to unbelievers, and so as not to be corrupted by evil company, we also need to be careful choosing our Facebook friends. And I would say this is especially important, especially true, if you like to scroll through all the posts from your Facebook friends, because whatever content is there is going to be coming from the friends that you have chosen to align yourself with, to have in your group or whatever. I would encourage you to learn a little bit about the people first. I would recommend as a rule to at least check their friends list to see if they share some friends who are members of the church. The fourth thing that I would suggest is give yourself a time limit. I don't know what that time limit would be, but since Facebook is so addicting, perhaps setting a time limit of 10 to 15 minutes a day or 20 or whatever you think is appropriate would help. If you don't set a time limit and just say, okay, I'm done by this time, you may find yourself mindlessly scrolling through Facebook for an entire hour or hours without even noticing and find yourself addicted to it, to want to come back over and over and over and over. I remember one man complaining to me in a church that I used to attend long ago that his wife couldn't even go to the bathroom without checking Facebook while she was in there. It becomes an obsession. So, in conclusion, we really haven't even scratched the surface of what could be talked about on this topic of Facebook and the Christian. Suffice it to say that Facebook is a blessing and a curse at the same time. May we remember the words of Jesus from Matthew 10:16 to be wise as serpents and innocent as doves. And may the parents among us be wise as serpents as it comes to our children's Facebook usage. I think some parents are naive. And I'm not assigning anybody here as being naive. I'm just saying in general, when I see little kids running around with phones, I get a little nervous. I wonder if the parents realize what a dangerous tool that is, that Satan can use that phone for a world of filth and wickedness. And Facebook can be a tool for a world of filth and wickedness. And a lot of times our kids are smarter with their phones than we are. And they're smarter on Facebook than their mom and dad. And you may think they're being honest with you and they're not. Maybe you're not really checking. And maybe you really don't know the horrific things they may be seeing or saying or doing on Facebook or anywhere else online. I think it would be wise if every Christian govern their Facebook use with Philippians 2:15. And the principle laid down there where Paul says, so that you will prove yourselves to be blameless and innocent, children of God above reproach, in the midst of a crooked and perverse generation, among whom you appear as lights in the world. Would you bow your head with me in a word of prayer? Our Father, our God, we ask for your grace at this hour, at this time, as we think soberly about our habits on Facebook and online, and we think about what we're showing the whole world that a Christian is, and whether we're glorifying your name and shining your light in that, or if we're bringing shame to ourselves and to the church. We just pray, and I pray, that you would guide us. Pray, Father, that you would forgive us if we have erred, and forgive me if I have done that, Father, and when I have spent too much time there and been too obsessed. Help us all, Father, that we will seek to do better and to shine our lights and to be blameless and to be very careful with this precious blessing of time and opportunity that you've given us every single day. And help us to always seek first your kingdom and your righteousness. Through your Son we pray. Amen. Well, thank you for your kind attention. Take your songbooks, please, and turn to the song that has been selected. We always leave this opportunity open, and that's traditional, and I think it's a good tradition. If you're not a Christian, you can do that. And it's as simple as believing in the Lord and repenting of your sins and confessing His name and being baptized for the remission of your sins and committing your life to truly follow Him and follow His ways. It might be that there are some here who are thinking, I feel convicted right now. Maybe you're a Christian and you realize you need to repent. We'd love to pray for you. If you'd please come to the front, if we can assist you in any way now as we stand and sing the song of invitation.